Welcome to 2024. It's a new year, as we have been reminded a couple of different times today. And maybe you made a New Year's resolution, as Joe was saying. Maybe you didn't, but the interesting thing about not making a resolution is you have to resolve to not making a resolution, so you've made a resolution. So congratulations. Everybody has made a New Year's resolution, even if your New Year's resolution was to not make New Year's resolutions. And if that isn't confusing enough, then you'll have to make a resolution to try to figure it out. We all know what resolutions are. You know, resolutions are those things that we make because we are determined to do something or not do something, and there is an expected result that is going to cause permanent change. That's the reason for the resolutions. And oftentimes people make the same resolution year after year after year. And that's okay. For years, the most popular resolution had something to do with exercise or losing weight or eating healthy or something like that. But in October of last year, there was a surveying organization called Statista, and they found out that for 2024, the most common resolution was going to be to save more money. And then, of course, it was to exercise more and to eat healthier and to lose weight and spend more time with family and all of those other things that people tend to want to resolve to do. But it's really interesting that in 2024, almost 6 out of 10 people said, I need to save more money. I don't know what they're thinking is going to happen in the future, but that seems to be really a big thing on everybody's mind. But losing weight, it's still right there. 50% of people want to exercise more. And most of the time, the reason they want to exercise more is because they are carrying too much weight. And we know that this is a problem. When we carry too much weight on our bodies, then there are all kinds of things that happen. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, sleep apnea, high blood cholesterol, certain types of cancer, and that's just the beginning of the list. We know this. We've read this list. We've heard this list. Doctors have probably told us that. And yet, even in this world in America, 66% of people are overweight. Worldwide, it's 37%. And with children, 3 in 10 are overweight. In the world, it's only 14%. Last year, almost 35% of the teenagers that could have joined the military were ineligible to join the military because they weighed too much. It's a problem. But I'm not here to talk about physical weight, because I'm sure that if you've ever been to the doctor has probably said something like, well, you know, you could stand to shed a couple of pounds. And we've thanked the doctor for their advice and their opinion, and then we have resolved to ignore that. And sometimes the reason that we don't shed the weight is because, well, it's hard. I also read from this same Statista company that the average person is going to attempt to lose weight 7 times. Seriously, attempt to lose weight 7 times during their life. Whether that's a diet or whether that's whatever that is, whatever that looks like, an exercise plan or whatever, 7 times in our life we're going to attempt this. On the flip side, there are times where we do need to carry a little bit of weight. For instance, if you want to build muscle, you have to put weight on a barbell so that you can lift it and you can build muscle. If you've ever put on ankle weights or leg weights, I know that there are sometimes basketball coaches or volleyball coaches that will urge their team to wear ankle weights when they are playing or when they're practicing, so that when they play and they don't have the weight on, they're stronger. They can jump higher. So there are times when we need to build muscle that we need to add weight, but this is an intentional kind of a thing that we do to try to gain a positive outcome. But the weight, that is really hard to shed is the weight that we have decided is just a part of who we are. Now, I don't want to downplay this because I know that there is medical evidence that there is a certain genetic predisposition to being overweight in some families, and there are some people that do have slow metabolism. I get all of that. I understand all of that. But, of course, there are people who rationalize things. I've heard this one. I just like the taste of food. Sorry. I'm always going to be, or I'm not fat, I'm just big boned. When I was looking this concept of being big boned up, I came across several x-ray pictures of a skeleton of a person of average weight, a skeleton of a person who was overweight. The skeleton was exactly the same. Big boned? I don't know. I don't know if that's a thing. But we know that there's a problem. We know that it's an issue. And we would like to be able to help. We would like to be able to shed some of that weight. That's one of the reasons why it is one of our New Year's resolutions almost every year in a lot of circumstances. But as difficult as it is to shed physical weight, it is equally difficult to get rid of things that weigh us down spiritually. The Bible talks about the difficult part of shedding those things that prevent us from living the kind of a life that God wants us to live, a life of faith, a life where we are the disciple of Jesus that Jesus wants. God urges us to do this in Scripture. He urges us, and our theme verse for the next 3 months is going to be a verse where the apostle who is writing Hebrews, and I think it's Paul, so if you want to argue with that with me later, that's fine, but I'm going to refer to the writer of Hebrews as the Apostle Paul. Over the next 3 months, we're going to look at what the Bible says hinders our spiritual life, and Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 is going to be our theme verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now that's the New International Version translation. One of the things that I would like for you to do during the next 11 weeks is I'd like you to memorize this verse. And so to help you with that, we're going to recite it a couple of times every Sunday, and then I'd like for you to also recite it during the week. Just once a day, a couple of times a day, maybe write it on a little card, stick it on your mirror, stick it on your refrigerator, because this is going to be the theme for our sermon series called Shedding the Weight. So I'd like for you to join me in reciting these words, and we're going to recite them a couple of times. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's say it again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, I'm going to be reciting it, and we will recite it from this version every single Sunday. If you want to memorize it out of a different version, that's completely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the apostle who wrote Hebrews, Paul, was writing to Jewish converts. These are Jewish people who were steeped in the Jewish religion, and they have converted to Christianity. But they have a problem. The problem is they're trying to drag their past into this new religion, if you will, or this new understanding of who Jesus is. They were familiar with the Old Testament. They were tempted to revert back to the old ways of Judaism. And there was even some evidence that they were trying to blend the two. They wanted to be Christian and Jew at the same time. They wanted to do everything that they could that was Jewish and everything that they could that was Christian and try to blend the two, not realizing that Jesus came to bring a new covenant in his blood. And so the Apostle Paul is strongly urging them not to weigh themselves down with the old law, but to live a life of faith. And to do that, to help them with that, he wrote chapter 11. And in chapter 11, there is a plethora, if you will, of faithful believers. The thing about those faithful believers is they never received the object of their faith. They never knew about Jesus Christ. They never knew about the Messiah that was promised, but they lived in faith that there would come a Messiah, that there would come one who was going to set everything right. And Scripture says that they were all commended for their faith. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, it says, "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised." Now, isn't that the very definition of faith? You have been told that something is going to happen, and you have believed that it's going to happen, even though, excuse me, in your lifetime it never happens. And there are people like Abraham and Moses and Noah and Rahab, and there are all kinds of names, Gideon, a lot of the judges, a lot of the prophets, a lot of the people of great faith in the Old Testament, but none of them ever got a chance to experience what was promised. Yet they are known for their faith. And so what Paul is trying to help the believers, the Jewish believers, to understand is the best thing that you can do is take a look at this example and then don't weigh yourself down with all of the garbage that we have a tendency to weigh ourselves down with as we're trying to live for Christ. Since we have all of these examples, we need to resolve to get rid of anything that is hindering our journey of faith. For an entire year, 2023, we spent every Sunday trying to encourage each person to journey toward Jesus, to find out who he is, to understand his person and his promise and his power, to understand his passion for each and every one of us. You can't do that just by looking at facts and figures and data. You have to give yourself to Christ, and that's a journey of faith. And only when we are able to get rid of the weights, get rid of the excess, will we be able to run well. As I was preparing this message and I got to this part, I thought, oh, I really should have somebody come out to Rocky music at this point. You know, somebody who has given their life to making their body as strong as it possibly can be, and they, you know, the Gonna Fly Now music. I really wanted that, but I thought better of it. Judy said, I think we need to keep our job. No, she didn't say that. I'm just teasing. But when we're taking a look at this whole example of this whole idea of how people live by faith, this verse is the very next verse, the verse that is our theme. Therefore, since you have this great cloud of witnesses, cast off everything that is hindering you and the sin that is entangling you. Now, sometimes when I'm studying, I also take a look at other texts and other translations to get a bigger picture for what the verse is saying. In the Amplified Version, it says, strip off every unnecessary influence and the sin which easily and cleverly entangles us. And I love that concept. Strip it off. The Message says, strip down, start running, never quit, no extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Wow, if that doesn't give you a picture, I don't know what does. The New American Standard Bible says, let's get rid of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us. The King James Version simply says, and many others, talk about these obstacles as weights and hindrances. Others use the word encumbrances or burdens or barriers or whatever is standing in your way. You would think with all of those synonyms for the same thing that we would get the picture. Paul wants these Jewish Christians to think about being a Christian the way the ancient athletes thought about being an athlete. And if you know anything about Greek athletes, you know that they did everything they could with as minimal restrictions as possible. They ran naked, they competed naked, they threw the javelin naked, they wrestled naked. Why? You know. Because they didn't have spandex. You take a look at what the track runners are wearing at the Summer Olympics this coming summer. They wear as little as they possibly can. Why? Because they don't want anything hindering them from running as fast as they can. A month or so ago, there was a marathon runner that set a world record in a marathon, and he was wearing a specially designed type of shoe that knocked like 10 minutes off of his time. It was a ridiculous shattering of the world record in the marathon. Why? Because he knew that with that particular type of shoe, designed and crafted and made so that he could run faster, he could break these records. You see, that was the whole idea. That's why swimmers wear the type of swimsuits that they wear, so that when they are shooting through the water, there's the least amount of resistance possible. They spend gobs and gobs and gobs of money so that they can have the equipment that they need so that they can be the best athlete that they can be and they can accomplish their goals. And the Apostle Paul is saying, if they're willing to do it for a physical wreath that sits on your head and is gone in a little bit, why won't you do that for your eternal life? Why won't you do that for a reward that lasts for eternity? And so the Apostle Paul is basically saying, never quit. So over the next 11 weeks, we're going to take a look at a number of things that are hindering us, a number of those weights that are encumbering us, those hindrances that are barriers, those things that are standing in our way. Some of them are going to be a part of what we know of as the seven deadly sins. You've probably heard of those: pride, lust, greed, envy, sloth, wrath, gluttony. These are the, quote, acceptable seven deadly sins. Deadly because if we engage in them willingly, they deprive us of sanctifying grace and the life that God wants us to have in our souls. But they are powerful sins. Satan has been using these to tempt us away from the Lord since the beginning of time. And so we will take a look at some of those because they are still hindrances. They are still weights that we have upon us. But there are all kinds of other things. And the beautiful thing is not only does the Scripture tell us to avoid these, but it also gives us encouragement on what we can do instead. So we're not just going to be, hopefully, we're not just going to be bombarded with the do nots. Over the course of the next 11 weeks, we're going to take a look at some other things like unbelief, fear, blame, jealousy, judgmentalism, bitterness, bad speech patterns, false expectations, even intentional rebellion. All of these are spoken of in Scripture as things that we need to avoid, things that we need to shed, things that we need to get rid of. Why? Because if we are going to run the race that Christ has laid out for us, we need to get rid of these weights, these hindrances, these sins that so easily entangle us. It's not going to be easy. If you've ever tried to lose weight, you know that probably one of the best things that you can do is get a personal trainer. Find somebody that is going to be an encouragement to you, or even maybe find a friend who is going to keep you accountable for your weight loss goals. The minute that we decide we can handle it on our own, we don't need anybody else, is the minute that we tend to revert back to where we were before. And I know that there are times And I'm going to use Judy's mom as an example. She was told by her doctor that she needs to pay attention, weigh yourself every day, and if you start to creep up in your weight, you need to call me immediately. Did that happen? No. Why? It was just kind of a hassle, and then when she did gain a little bit of weight, and she did go back, and she needed to go back to the doctor reiterated, you weigh yourself every day, and if you gain X number of pounds, you call me instantly. Here's my cell phone number. It is absolutely necessary. We need to have that encouragement from one another. Now, just like losing weight is not a lonely prospect, it's not something that we are supposed to do by ourselves. Getting rid of the spiritual weight is not something that we're supposed to do by ourselves either. It's something that we're supposed to have support for. We're supposed to have a support system around us. We're supposed to be encouraged to do those kinds of things. Paul was that for his protege, Timothy. He even reminded Timothy of the importance of spiritual training in comparison to physical training. He tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. We need to be accountable to one another. So don't try to do this on your own. Don't try to shed the sins that are encumbering us or encumbering you on your own. You don't have to. Mostly because we're kind of all in the same boat. We all have things that we would like to change. We all have things that are holding us back. We all have those secret stashes of donuts that we just can't quite seem to get rid of. We all have those sweets and that sugar that we just can't quite seem to leave alone. And it's, spiritually speaking, we all have those sins that keep us from doing what God wants us to do. So over the next 3 months, this is going to be our focus. This is going to be kind of where we're going to be at. And to be honest, I don't feel qualified. Because just like each and every one of you, I know what my secret sins are. And yet a personal trainer who probably has not ever reached their maximum, best perfect body shape, weight, body mass index, all of those things, is still a personal trainer. Why? Because they care. And so every Sunday I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to try to care. Not try. I am going to care about myself and about each and every one of us in this room, because I think that God wants us to do exactly what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says. Since we have people around us who can be our example, let us get rid of all of those things that are weighing us down. The sin that is so easily entangling us, and let us run with perseverance the race that has been set out for us. If I want to do that, if I want to be the disciple that Jesus wants, I need to realize that I may need to be disciplined. And the Lord has promised that He will discipline us. But not because He hates us, but because He loves us. So are you with me? We're going to hopefully shed some spiritual weight. And we're going to do it together. We're going to do it in the love of Jesus Christ. All for one, and one for all. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that we can shed the weight together. That we can take a look at those things that are weighing us down, those things that are hindering us from being the disciple that You want us to be, those things that are stopping us. And we can justify and we can say, I've got this, I can handle this, it's not so bad, I'm not as bad as other people. And I mean, we can rationalize all kinds of things, but Lord, You have given us Your word. That if we will allow You to discipline us, if we will walk the path of righteousness that you have set out, if we will allow you to at times cut away those hindrances, we will be able to fight the good fight and run the race well. We will be disciples of Jesus that can hold our head up high, running the race so as to win. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to watch over us. Help us to be accountable to one another. Help us to realize that just because our sin might be different from somebody else's, that doesn't mean that they can judge us or we can judge them. But Lord, we can lift one another up. We can be an encouragement. We can support and pray for one another. Because you love us so much, I pray, Lord, that we will do just that. So I ask your blessing on this sermon series. And I pray, Lord, that we will seek to be lean, mean Christian machines. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.